Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
Cock! Camel Chutnam!
Hello, welcome to episode 9, season 12 of the Fighting Cock Podcast. Today I'm joined by Jack to Trunk. What do you want to go with? It's the Trunk, isn't it?
Either or, don't mind. You know.
When are you going to grow out of that?
No, never. It's a trap, isn't it? Growing up, I thought. That's what all the novelty cards say.
It's a trap, never grow up.
You're still in my phone as JTS.
Hey, that's the real if you know.
Well, we were just when we were waiting.
If you know, I fucking butchered that. That's proper your dar, isn't it?
Like, yeah. If you know, you know. What's it supposed to be? If you know, you know, isn't it?
If you know, you know. Yeah. I said if you know.
I was talking to Ricky Jack the other day, we're talking about just before you came on. We've known each other 19 years.
Yeah, a long time.
We met each other in 2003 on a message board. And back when it wasn't cool, like meeting people on the internet back then weren't cool. We weren't allowed to. We'd meet up over Spurs. We wouldn't tell. We'd meet up as a group en masse. It was maybe at times 15 people, just blokes that had met on a message board and go Spurs with each other. Back then. Now it's fine. You can meet anyone on the internet. It's completely normal. But back then, it worked. I didn't tell my brothers that you were internet mates for 7 years.
Proper weird because I remember the first time I met you two. I think you two had met maybe a couple of times before. But I remember the three of us, we all met up and went for like, I think a fry up in Crouch End. And we were all just sort of sat there quietly, like eating it, not really talking. Do you know what I mean? It's like, these are those two sort of people off the internet. What happens here? Am I going to get molested? Like,
my girlfriend at the time used to call you like my sad internet mates.
She wasn't wrong, was she?
No, she wasn't wrong. She was absolutely right. And I asked Ricky, what's your favourite memory of Jack? And he, what did you say?
When you used to have the little icons underneath your signature of the Space Raiders, Super Noodles.
And the Pokemon Gengar was my habit.
Mate, great days. Dodgy days. Close to the line days, but great days. Luckily, none of the evidence exists. So we're all fine.
Shout out to Tim Abel as well.
Tim Abel. He still listens to the podcast. Yeah, Tim. Hope you're well, mate. Right, fucking hell. We've lost one game of football. In the actually, I'm gonna go straight. Before we talk about Son and all the obvious conversations, the reaction to our loss to Lisbon, I think, is a little bit over the top, and I can't understand it because I know what Twitter is and I know what football Twitter is and I know how reactive all fan bases are now, and you're online, so you're like an overextended or exaggerated version of yourself, but. it was exhausting listening. All of our players at certain times have been trending, and it's just fans moaning about every single part of it. And I got this tweet after asking for questions from brotherlove_91. He says, no question, this is just a statement. We've lost once since April the 16th before Tuesday and have two league losses, three in total, since March 1st. Have a good day. Isn't that a much more positive way to look at it? Or, boys, is it a case of there is an issue and I'm willfully ignoring it, Jack?
Well, I mean, I agree with the guy. I'm on the sort of same side of the fence as that guy, but it's a bit creative, isn't it? He's sort of like neglecting the fact that it was summer in that time, and that, you know, when you're doing stuff by dates, I'm saying, like, it's kind of it's being constructive with the truth. But I get it. We haven't lost much. We also didn't play European football in the tail end of last season, and that's always kind of been the thing that people are worried about with Conte. However, losing one game of football happens, right? We're not used to losing. I kind of feel like the reaction, I think there's a couple of things at play, right? People are allowed to be kind of annoyed. It's shit seeing Tottenham lose a game. It just is. It's shit seeing us lose friendlies, pre-season ones, even though we pretend like they don't matter. It's just, it's horrible seeing
but
Tottenham
It's a part
lose.
Of football. It is shit, but it's a part of football. You have to be able to cope with it.
And that's what I mean. I think people are just kind of venting on that level. Also, what's happening, I think, though, is there's quite a bit of, like, confirmation bias at play. Like, we've been hearing for the whole sort of top end of the season, this is unsustainable. The way Tottenham are playing, they're getting these results over the line. All this kind of, like, panic about it, when I don't agree with that at all. I think we haven't looked that good going forwards. Like, Son and Kane have not been on it, really, even though Kane is still scoring goals. They haven't really clicked. So we don't look that kind of exciting going forwards. But we've been solid and we're winning games. We're objectively a great team. So, you know, I think people are just worried about this falling to pieces. Like, Spooky's always going on about the fact we're not built for success. I kind of agree with that. Like, when we're at this level, punching for, like, the top things is scary. And every result is, like, filled with anxiety. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah,
it's,
I understand that.
We have to win every game, right?
Yes, and that is an exhausting position to be for a Spurs fan. It's and I can say that because I spoke to a Liverpool fan who is going through the mill currently because they've had years of success and suddenly is genuinely starting to think, fuck, maybe the cycle is over for Liverpool, and maybe Mane was the player that elevated us, and that while Salah is clearly world class, Mane was perhaps underrated to some degree in terms of his influence on how good Liverpool have been since he joined them. Or maybe the inhalers have stopped working. Whatever it is, he is feeling terrible about his football club. The draw against Fulham at the start of the season, he said he can't remember the last time he felt as bad. Like losing a fight, the Europa League final, he said, was the last time he felt as bad. So there is a jeopardy about being at the top, but you what are we going to do then? Or do we have to return to a mediocre club for everyone to just be happy? Rick, what how are you feeling? How are you processing all of this?
As you know me, badly.
Ricky, out of everyone I've known, is it takes losses worse than anyone I've known ever. It's and the same hangovers. You take hangovers worse than anyone I've known as well.
That's true. But
just your little eyes. I see your little eyes looking the slow blinks when something bad happens.
The morning after your wedding, when I was going back to the car, and I was really hungover, and I had this like banging headache, and I just felt really ill. But then I saw you and I chatted to you and I could see in your eyes that you were hurting and you never hurt. But it gave me power, though. It gave me strength.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, I rarely in my life have been as hungover as I was after my wedding. But that's the way it's supposed to be, you know. But what I do is I process it and understand it. It's cause and effect, isn't it? And it's the same with football. We can't win every game. And I get that we're not playing that well, Rick. But what, you know, sorry, I cut you. What?
So there's two things for me. The quote that Conte said is, if you can't win the game, don't lose it. So us conceding in like the 90th and 93rd minute, whatever it was the exact opposite of that. And we could have hung on in there, but there was a couple of lapses of concentration and they scored. They scored from a corner, which normally we defend really well. It's one of those things. But their second goal was a shit one to concede. I can't remember the guy's name. And he just kind of like, he just strode Arthur. Through. Yeah, Arthur. Good old Arthur. Strode through and then slotted it home. So that was really disappointing. But I don't think it's the where fans are kind of there. It's this the general bubbling and undertones of that we haven't been playing that well. So when that result comes in where it's like a sucker punch where we've lost and it's in Europe and it's to a team that, you know, a lot of people expected us to beat, at least not lose anyway. It's kind of brought everything up. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, didn't we beat Fulham convincingly, like 2-1, but we could have won 5-1.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was
away in Europe.
Again, you see that it's 2-1. We could have beat them convincingly, but it wasn't in the end. It was 2-1. The game against Forest, I think they had a lot of the play, and if they had better players, they would have stuck it on us. But we got the result. We're grinding out the results without the performances. And for a lot of people, that is the sign of a championship-winning team where they don't play well, but they win.
So,
like, you know,
so why, is it for, why is it for Spurs a sign that it's all about to crumble?
Because we have an expectation to play exciting football, and it's very hard to get that balance of playing amazing, exciting football all the time and winning football matches, because it just doesn't work like that. And I think for Conte and what, you know, the sound bites that he's given out of, you know, players playing with too much emotion, and they need to be kind of like cold hearted in these situations and ruthless and just, you know, better man management of the game and stuff like that and controlling games. And, you know, he's been there and he's done it and he's won championships, but where we kind of have fallen down in the past is that we're playing great football, but then we don't get it over the line. So what is it that we want? Do we want to be a team that is hard to beat, really hard to beat, and then grind out these results where we have like players like Kane and Son that will pop up with a goal and win it for us? But then it kind of harks back to a bit like a touch of the Mourinho's, where we were pretty defensive. I mean, we're not so much as the low block of Mourinho. And you can see there are patterns to our attacking play under Conte and how he wants us to play. But is it the manner and the way we're playing that people want to see? Now, people are going to swing wildly between playing really well or playing shit. And, you know, the kind of the results in the meantime, as long as we're winning, people won't really question it. But then when we do lose, it's kind of like, I don't know, like if you're in a relationship and the person keeps doing these annoying things, and you let it slide because it's all right and they're your partner. But then they do that one thing and then everything comes out. You're like, yeah, and you haven't done this and you haven't done that and da-da-da-da-da. And it's like, it feels like there's been a lot bubbling under that Conte hasn't used enough substitutions. He hasn't used Spence. He hasn't adapted when we've had two in the middle and then the opposing team have put three then. We're getting outplayed there. He hasn't done these things, but they're on the, they're kind of just simmering at the moment because we haven't lost and you can't complain. But now we have lost, and it was the manner in how we lost, which was more painful. I think these emotions are coming to the surface, really.
Carl, we've got a question. Carl, sorry, go on. Go on, Jack.
I was just going to say, I just wanted to put to you, lads, that, like, you know, because it's funny, it's not to take away from anything. It's like, I understand why people are pissed off out the back of this, but I watched the Manchester City game the day after, right? And I saw them kind of get it over the line again, another goal from Haaland. They've added, what, you know, the best young player in the world to their team just because they can. They add defender every time their defence looks like it's starting to get a bit leaky. They just go and buy another £60 million defender. I look at that. They won the other night. They got it over the line. We lost. I'm not jealous of them though. I'm not jealous of what Manchester City do. I'm jealous of what Liverpool have done over the past few years. Those kind of like those moments of glory and those kind of glorious failures they've had along with that, because that feels more real. But I look at Spurs and it is annoying. And it does wind me up, but like in terms of like the sort of catastrophic side behind it, isn't that sort of part of the fun? Doesn't that sort of make you feel more alive as a Spurs fan?
I do. It's like so Man City fans are like that bloke who has everything but goes, you know, at the weekend has to go and visit a pretty young woman who's going to peg him. Do you know what I mean? Because he needs to feel something. Like when Man City's scored the other day, where they're beating Bournemouth 4-0, and there was just this, it almost like a polite applause after they'd scored their fourth goal. I wouldn't swap what they've got for us for that. Not for that. Like the raw emotion, what we felt last year when we scored, when Bergwijn scored that brace in injury time against Leicester, was as good as anything that Manchester City fans will ever feel in the future. Like it's done for them. Like they're not running around losing their minds if they beat Leicester in the last minute. They're existing in this excellence, which after a while, the human condition means that you get bored of it. I'd have a bit of it. I'd love a bit of it though, Jack. That's the thing, is I want
a taste of it, like Liverpool had that taste of it, you know.
Yeah, what Liverpool have had is enviable because they didn't do it like Man City had done it. That what they did with having an amazing coaching Klopp and getting over the line and winning Champions Leagues and winning the league. They've had what we are desperate for, and that's I guess where some of the criticisms of Daniel Levy comes in, because perhaps their chairman or their owners acted in a different way that Daniel Levy might have done in the past. But I think we've given it a go this year. And
do you not think we've had a little taster of it in like the 16-17 season, the season after that, the Champions League?
We didn't win though, did we?
No, we didn't. But we
and
tasted.
It all collapsed afterwards. Why didn't it collapse for Liverpool after they fucking they lost the Champions League? What happened there was they went strength to strength. The manager we've loved more than any other since Bill Nick, probably. He couldn't work out how to fix us, how to make us rebound. And I guess that's perhaps, maybe that's why people are so angry or exhausted about poor performances. It's because we came close to the glory and we didn't get it. And now we're kind of feeling like, do you think that there's a feeling that the Conte era will be over shortly, and that Kane is inevitably going to leave, and we have to rebuild and restart again? And do you think that's where some of this has come from? That the fans from on Twitter and elsewhere, or just Spurs fans, feel like this is our big opportunity, and it's not being realised with the performances on the pitch, Jack?
100%. We're toward, like, if you think about it, we're coming toward the end of, like, we've added some like good young players, Kulusevski, Romero and that, but still there's three major players in Lloris, Son and Kane that are coming to the end, and that's a lot of money or a lot of time to replace those three. And you can't really have any, I think the board are changing their ways a bit. We are starting to spend a bit more money, but I don't have any full faith that we're going to drop 200-300 mil that it would cost to replace those three, really, realistically speaking. So to a degree, like punching at the level that we are now, we could be coming towards the end of that, because Conte ain't going to be here for more than 2 years, is he? I don't see Kane signing a new contract. I don't see a world in which he does it. There's nothing in it for him. There isn't. He can leave Spurs and go anywhere, you know, and win.
What do you make of that situation, Rick, the Kane situation? He's got, 18 months left on his contract, more or less.
Yeah, for me, I think it's linked to Conte. I think if Conte signs, he'll sign. And I just think he's so close to that Shearer record that he just won't let it lie. I don't think he'll go to another Premier League club to fulfill the Premier League goals. I think he's 30. I think his family is settled. I think he's settled within the club, but he just wants to see ambition from the club and know that they've got a world-class manager to drive them forward. And I think probably Conte will be saying things behind the scenes as to say, like, there's already snippets in the media of Conte saying, you know, we've got seven players in and we got the Champions League last season, but if you think we are anywhere near the top two at the moment, you know, you're sadly mistaken. This is going to take two or three windows for us to even get anywhere near that. So him, Conte, speaking about that and looking towards the future and stuff like that, that does make me feel more positive. And I think, you know, how many games have we played in the league so far? Six or something?
Eight, I think. Have we? Oh, I thought we should know this.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. But it's a handful in speaking about how we're feeling.
Six,
like,
yeah.
It's halfway through the season or something like that. And our players, like, they have so many. Like, Son and Kane have been devastating over the seasons. Two, three seasons? And at the moment, it's just not clicking for... It's not clicking for both of them. And Son is having a bit of a stinker, and we'll probably chat about that later. But it's like, when that does start to click, then, and we start scoring goals freely, then it will be... it's going to be a totally different conversation. And I just think Conte is still trying to work out... his best team, not his best team, but how he's trying to fit everybody in. And once we get there and we pick up some momentum and we kind of know how we're playing, how we're attacking and how everything's going to kind of settle down, I think we'll see a different Tottenham. But, you know, we've just signed like seven players, so we're still juggling that. We've now got the Champions League, which is an extra pressure. So we're juggling that.
Well, a lot of people have been, the reaction, the questions we've been getting and what you read on Twitter, if you want to spend your time doing that. And inevitably, because we do the podcast, Twitter throws up so many suggested posts. It's infuriating to me because I don't want to read all of these things. And not even just talking about football, about anything. Like, it seems to throw up posts that really annoy me, and the amount of suggested topics that I've X'd, like, just said do not suggest anymore, is unreal. So you actually hear it all the time, but a lot of them are starting to question Conte and question what he's doing in terms of substitutes and why he won't drop Emerson Royale or Heung-min Son. Why is Bissouma not in the squad? What do you think, like, about, like, whether or not, like, what is it that that Conte needs to do differently to placate these people?
Well, I think it's a tough job, and when you've got a world class manager like Conte, you don't really, like, for me, I don't really want to rock the boat and be coming out and saying this, that, and the other, because I want him to stay. I want him to stay for a long time, and I know he can win us something. But at the same time, I don't think it's wrong that you don't question a manager. You know,
what's he done
at the end
wrong
of the day,
in
we're
eyes,
all football fans.
Yeah, of course, we're having opinions. So, it doesn't mean anything.
Exactly. What do we know? Yeah. I would like one thing that has been really it has been giving me the needle a bit is I really was excited to see Spence. And I'm just a bit kind of at a loss as to why he hasn't been given more game time. Okay, he's come from the Championship. He is a very young player. He's one for the future. Conte said he's a club signing, not his signing. But, you know, I think he would still be used anyway. But even if we erase Spence, why hasn't Doherty played? I know he's been injured a bit, but there have been plenty of times where I thought Doherty could have come in. And well,
just to answer that, because Conte has directly answered the question that was put to him by a reporter about Doherty, and he's saying that his injury was significant, bearing in mind, this is a guy who spends 80 hours a week probably with his players or whatever it might be. He spends more time than we. And it's good, like you said, it's fine to ask the question, but he said because of the injury, he's not the player that he was last year. So if he isn't the player, and you have to trust Conte's judgment, then you can't put him in just because Emerson Royale isn't performing the way that everyone wants him to do. And by the way, Emerson Royale isn't performing badly. I think he's become...
I agree with that. I'm glad you said that. Sorry.
No, go, Jake, go.
I think that most of the complaints have been about his attacking prowess, right? Or lack thereof. He's playing all right.
Like, everything else he does brilliantly. I think. Yeah. Well, not brilliantly is a lot, but he plays well. He does everything Conte's asking him to do up until the point where he has to deliver. But even that, I think it's overstated. His delivery is not as bad as people think.
He's miles better than Serge Aurier ever was. And I keep seeing people say Serge Aurier would be better in this team. Would he? Fuck. The guy was a disaster. Like, he was an absolute disaster.
I don't think he'd be horrible in the
disaster.
Team.
Emerson Royale's just a bit meh at times. Do you know what I mean? That's his biggest crime. Like,
for me, it's the way, like, Conte's system, the wing backs have to do a lot as well as defensive and attack. Whereas, I don't have any stats to hand. Surprise, surprise.
We don't need stats.
just say stuff. Right, I'm good at that.
Got the extra inch for that, all right?
With Royale, he's goal contribution, assists. I don't think there's any there. And then on the flip side, you've got Perisic, where he's got at least two assists that I can remember, and even Cesar scored. So
he's got three assists, Perisic.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
This is what I would expect, and what Conte would expect from how he plays and how his system works. So if you do have someone on the right, like Royale or whoever, they need to be chipping in with assists, goals, linking up play better. And if Royale isn't doing that, then that is a huge detriment to the attacking side of our team. Yeah. And we are more reliant on Son, on Kane and Kulusevski, because we're not going to get those goals from Bentancur and Højbjerg because of the positions they play. But I will like to say that Højbjerg last season, I was hugely appreciative of his role in the team, but I just felt he didn't contribute goals or assists, and he just didn't look like, when he received the ball, that he knew how to play it forward. And this season, and being at the tail end of last season, under Conte, he has scored, he has assisted, and he is playing some delightful forward balls. So, the wheels are moving with Højbjerg and the way he's playing. And I just think that I would expect it to have seen a bit of improvement under Royale. But I'm not going to, I won't use him as a scapegoat, but I will say I know they are. And a lot of the other things as well, going back to the original question, was about what is it about people could be a little bit peeved with Conte is substitutions. And I think either they're too late or not enough. And in the Prem, we can have five substitutions.
Been saying this for years, though, about every coach we've ever had. Pochettino, the same.
Fucking make the subs then.
Yeah, but that... It's the most go-to thing that a fan can say is, well, he doesn't make the right subs. And then he makes the sub early, and when it has no impact on the game, no one going, oh, well, the sub was too early. No one says that. The easiest thing for a fan... Well, we said something on the Patreon podcast, the five statements, the preview podcast we've done for the Leicester game. Is, do you remember, there's two things where fans en masse at Spurs were calling for. Bale to play on the left. He won Champions Leagues not playing on the left. And Troy Parrott to be given a go under Mourinho. Played him for half an hour and you realise, Jesus, he's nowhere near ready. It's. I get it. I get it comes from a place of frustration and the game is... There may be games where you feel like he needs to change it and he doesn't. But it just feels like when you've heard that excuse or that slight at a manager, as good as Pochettino is and as good as Conte is, that maybe they know better and maybe it's just fans, because they're frustrated, needing to say something to get the negative feeling out of their chest and into the ether, that they go to things like cliche things like saying he doesn't make subs at the right time, like Eriksen, terrible corner taker, because he never... I mean, Eriksen was a terrible corner taker, actually. Awful. I think awful. He was terrible. That's a bad example. But my dad, a good example is my dad saying Son is like the worst corner taker he's ever seen. He's just got that idea in his head and he's now playing it out. And playing it out from the back is the terrible way to go. Oh, I don't know.
So are you saying that you think Jed Spence is shit then?
I'm saying that Jed Spence last year is a championship player. And you can't...
You think it was disrespectful when he tweeted Neil Warnock at the picture of the cigar and you don't want players like that in our shirt? Is that what you're saying?
I feel like I'm being gaslit here. I don't think he's got an attitude problem, if that's the next thing you're going to say. I think that we need to be patient with him and that he played well for a Forest team that was so cohesive and so brilliant under Steve Cooper, and what he built from them being bottom of the table, a team that included Jed Spence, a squad that included Jed Spence. They were bottom of the table of the championship after, was it 14 games? It was something mental, maybe less than that. But and then they went from that position to, you know, being promoted. That Jed Spence benefited from that complete massive size. The tide that rises all boats. That's what Steve Cooper was. Every player in that Nottingham Forest side improved under him, and Jed Spence was excellent in that. But it was a championship campaign, completely different to Spurs. So to expect him, and which it seems like, or fans just want to experiment. Like, this isn't working. Emerson Royale isn't working. He's not working. He's just not delivering balls into the box in the way that... Fuck it. I can't think of a right back. Maybe Trippier would have done, right? It doesn't mean there's so many bits to Emerson Royale's game that requires him to be excellent in order for him to get into the position where he can even cross, that he does consistently well, game in, game out. That to say that a complete novice in Jed Spence could do better than him is just reactionary, in my opinion. And that's where I think, that's why I get a bit frustrated. But just throw Jed Spence in because we haven't seen him. Maybe he'll be better. That's not the way we want Conte to manage our team. You don't.
Just get him in there. See what happens, mate. See what happens. You never know. Just get him in there.
You don't win leagues.
Give him 15 minutes. You never know, mate.
You don't win.
You sound like a triggered gammon, Flav. That's all, mate.
you don't win anything by just seeing what happens. And Ricky, you know, that's almost been a mantra of our relationship.
Yeah.
Let's just do it, see what happens. But in this instance, this is why I'd never want to be a manager at Tottenham Hotspur, because I would throw Jen Spence in there just to see what happens. But there's much more to it. That it's much more complex.
I think, just to go on another of the questions around, not questions around Conte really, but it's about people being dropped. Son, for instance, or you have a player like Kulusevski who has assisted how many, scored how many, and he's the fool guy for Richarlison coming in. Many people would have said it's probably Son that needs to step aside, where
loads of people
Richarlison should be taking his place. And as you've seen, Kulusevski, when he came on against Sporting and when he came on against, who was the match before? Fucking, I can't remember.
It was Fulham.
He made a massive difference when Kulusevski came on, just driving, carrying the ball. He was just an absolute nightmare for both of those defences. Yeah, and that's unreal. what opened it up. So, yeah.
Why is he not dropping Son? Is, I guess, where your question is, it?
Yeah, will he drop Son? Would he drop Kane? Would he drop? I don't know.
It's some of the
frustrations that I'm seeing, and I also feel as well. But then again, like you're saying, maybe reactionary. Like, you know, good managers play players back into form, or is it that? I don't know. We slightly adapt the instead of playing the three, it's more of a two, like Kane and Son, with Kulusevski being more of a creator behind. I don't know.
Well, I mean, Jack, what do you think make of the Son situation?
Yeah, I don't know. It's getting a bit. I saw today like somebody put out a load of his stats compared to like previous seasons, and their point was basically like, stop seeing what you want to see. He's playing fine. It's just not happening for him. But, you know, I'm not one of these people that's completely against stats. I think they have their place. I don't think they are kind of like, they're twofold, right? They're kind of, they're half of the argument. The eye test isn't completely invalid either. And Son just isn't passing that at the moment, is he? Like, and it's, I don't think Kane is either. And this is the thing. People are always quick to say like, why aren't you digging out Kane as well? He's
scored five and six, though. That's the difference between them.
Scoring goals.
Kane's scoring, but tap-ins, headers from like 5 yards. Like, it's that is the difference. Is that Son's 18 attempts this season haven't hit the back of the net. And this is a player that's always outperformed his XG. Now he's underperforming it. People are saying he's not good enough. He's not playing so badly that he's not in position to get shots off. He's just not finishing in the same way that he did previously. And I've got a question for you guys. Do we or should we never offer a player going through a poor form an element of loyalty that he's shown us by signing a new contract when Kane was out the door because now he's playing poorly? There are a lot of Spurs fans saying, get him out of the team. And then Conte's saying, well, you'd imagine he's saying, or in his brain he's thinking, we've just got to let him play through this. As Spurs fans, given the fact that he's given us so much and has signed that new contract, shouldn't we allow him to play himself out of this funk, even if he is in one?
And yeah, just... I mean, I've been saying it. Yeah, I've been saying it for the sort of top end of the season. You know, it's like my sort of my personal values. The way I kind of read the situation is that, exactly what you said there, we owe Son. We do owe him because he's given one to us. But, you know, the other side, and it's not even what I think, I'm just kind of seeing the way sort of other people would frame this, is that maybe that's the problem with Tottenham. There's too much sentiment there. You know, yes, Son's done a good job for us, but Son's been a professional athlete getting paid a good salary to perform for us.
£7 million a year, that's what he's getting.
You know, and as soon as that's not working, you know, it's not a youth club that we're running. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a Sunday league kind of little league team where we've got to give everyone a chance and everything like that. Like, I don't really know why I said a youth club. I've just turned to my fucking dad today. I don't know why.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that he's fine. What he's doing isn't to the level that he has performed for the last four seasons, but he will get there. And
will he though?
I think he will.
And there's any guarantee that he will.
I think undoubtedly he will still score 15 to 20 goals this season.
Imagine he falls off a cliff, like he never comes back. Jack says he never comes back. He
signed a contract because he knew that he's injured. He's got a problem, undiagnosed, some sort of Actually, it doesn't matter. But some sort of something that happens to him do you know how much change this podcast is? Because I would have definitely said what was in my brain 10 years ago. And society's become so fucking woke that I can't say what I want to say anymore because someone might cancel me. Anyway, I still think our best front three is Kulusevski, Kane, and Son, and I want to see that against Leicester. There's nothing against Richarlison. Richarlison's been fantastic since he's come in. His energy, his goal, his work rate is brilliant. But I want to see Son, I want to see Kane and Kulusevski on the right. I want us to return to what we saw towards the end of last season. I think the frustrations and difficulties that Conte is facing currently, and the reason why we're not playing so well, is something you just said, Jack, is that Kane and Son, there's very little cohesion. It's almost like they've worked out that Kane is super effective when he drops, and that they've just teams are gambling on crowding him out because he gets no time on the ball, whereas previously he would get loads. But they'll find a way through it because they're quality players. I think just allow those three to play and use Richarlison as an impact sub at the moment is what I would do, Rick.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. And with Kulusevski, I think he's just that much more different than Kane and Son, that he brings a different dimension to the type of player
he is. His crossing is unreal.
And Richarlison...
He's unbelievable.
He's a magnificent player. A magnificent player.
I can't believe we got him. Honestly, Juventus must be fucking kicking themselves.
Well, I've said this many times. My Italian mate, which has become a running joke, but he is my mate and he is from Italy. He said that, and I've said this so many times, but he said we're having our pants pulled down by Kulusevski and Bentancur. And look, Bentancur is a good player and definitely Premier League level, but Kulusevski's ceiling is huge. It's so high.
I mean, Bentancur's kind of doing for us what I guess Lo Celso did for Villarreal, right? Like, he's good. He looks like an actual footballer now. But Kulusevski, man, like that's like us fucking, I don't know, that's like us selling Harry Winks and him turning into Iniesta. Do you know what I mean? It's just
Another one that people have been calling for is for Bissouma to take over from Bentancur. And the reason why you know that Bentancur is a player is because of, or at least understands his role, is because of Conte's comments in the press conference when they were previewing Leicester. He said, this is quite long, so bear with me. The only player that is struggling a bit with the tactical aspect is Bissouma, but also he's improving a lot in every aspect. So I'm sure when we start again and play 12 games, for sure he is another player I can count on, but I try to take the best decision for the player because I want to protect the player. At the same time, I want to protect the team and everybody. For sure, we know very well that we will start again to play 12 games in 1 month. You have to be ready. You have to be ready because I need all my players. Also, the midfielder is a specific role for us. With the ball and without the ball, it's not simple. I ask for some moments, some positions. They have to be a point of reference in every moment of the game. The midfielder, for sure, to go into our idea of football is maybe the most difficult position. But we are talking about a player that has a great skill, good running, and with the ball, he is really good. Defensively, he has to pay more attention because especially we only have two midfielders and then they have to be good with the ball and without the ball. And I'm really, really happy with his signing. It just shows you how much thought is going into it. Like, people are just saying, well, but Bentancur hasn't been everything I wanted him to be. But Bentancur is being everything that Conte wants him to be in his system tactically. But Bissouma isn't ready yet and he's trying to protect the player. That, to me, is a good coach, good manager. In a time where fans are calling for a player to be brought in, he's protecting the player, as he said. I'm protecting Bissouma because he's an important player, he's an important signing for Spurs. But he isn't ready. And then you might think, well, he was ready for Brighton, but he's asked to do something completely different, different football club, different expectations.
There was a bit of that quote when I read it, he needs to improve tactically, but he's doing all right in everything else, or he's improving in his other skills. And I was thinking, what other skills? Like, what is he doing? Just like designing technology, textiles, like it's just flower arrangement. Like, I just want to know. Just imagine they've got him doing different, not even related to football. Just, yeah, just doing loads of random shit just to make him a better rounded person.
He's, he was the most excited of all of our signings. He was the one I was most excited for. But, if Conte, what did you make of that, of those comments, Jack? Did that infuse you, or did you know what did you make of this?
I don't really know. I don't really want to sort of view everything skeptically. I sort of tend to think, like, with, in terms of Bissouma, even with Emerson Royale, all of it, that Conte really he's a pragmatic conservative manager, right? This is the thing at the end of the day. People can sort of say, it's what we're talking about at the top, right? Like, we're getting annoyed. People are getting annoyed basically because Tottenham aren't playing pretty football. But this is the deal we made with the devil, right? We did
towards
the
end of last season. It was very good. Very good football. We were scoring goals.
Yeah, it was all right. But it was also Kane and Son and Kulusevski were amazing.
Just tearing it up, yeah.
So it's like this. I don't think the system has fundamentally changed. Like we were saying, it's those three players. Kulusevski isn't getting played, and Kane and Son just aren't at it. So the system can accommodate players being exceptional. I don't think, like, people saying, oh, his Chelsea team didn't play like that, but that Chelsea team had a player like Eden Hazard in there that could work magic for them. You know, they were still a robotic, functional team, and that's what we are now. And I feel that, like, yeah, there may be sort of concerns about the players' welfare or whatever, but ultimately, like, Conte sort of, he makes this pretty clear. Like, he doesn't do much stuff out of, like, compassion or heart or to be kind of, like, kind or benevolent. He does it because he wants results. He wants to win games, and he doesn't want to lose games. And that's why we play this concert. Like, he knows he can't just spend. Look, really, let's be honest. We know we've needed a new left centre-back. We wanted Bastoni, didn't happen, got Longley on loan. Whatever, we'll see. I don't know. A lot of people want to upgrade on Eric Dier. I'm of the opinion that it's going to cost you about £100 million to upgrade Eric Dier. Like, he's not a two bob defender. He might be upgradable, but he's still a good player. He's still a solid sort of defensive option. It's going to cost you a lot of money to get better than him. You've got Romero, obviously great, but in terms of the left right wing back, yeah, we definitely. Everything I'm saying about Romero, it'd be great if we had somebody as good as Reece James, though. Do you know what I mean? And on the left wing back, Perisic, free transfer, but he's 33, 34. He's not going to be there forever. So that's a problem that needs to be solved at some point down the line. But he knows he hasn't got the money to just sort of overhaul this kind of defensive unit in one season or one transfer window. So in my mind, he's going to play a team and a system that is least likely to lose matches. And that's the priority. It's about not losing games as opposed to going out and winning with a flourish. Hopefully that part comes later. That comes further down the line. But at the moment, we've got to keep this base established. And like you were saying, the tail end of last year, we were winning games with a flourish when our, let's be honest, world-class, enviable front three were firing. They're just not at the moment.
I don't know if it's much deeper than that.
Honestly,
yeah, I don't think it is. Yeah, I agree with you, Jack. I don't think it is much deeper than that. Those players will come good. Kane has scored 5 in 6 in the Premier League, and we're on this podcast we're fair in our assumptions that there's parts of his game that are not as good as it was previously. But he, in terms of his movement and his understanding of the game, is as good as it has ever been, because he's been in the right place at the right time consistently through the first 6 games of the season. So, Well, if Kane and Son click, then this is a completely different conversation next pod.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
But this is the nature of football. Did you see the tweet, and it got picked up by F365? This guy, this Italian journalist called Bergigia, talking about Juventus potentially wanting Conte to return, and the fact that, but his direct quote was, if the management at Juve manages to resist the temptation to kick Allegri out by keeping him until the end of the season, then he can go straight for Conte. They will go straight for Conte, who can't wait to return, and for this reason, he is not renewing with the British. This is a guy who has 40,000 followers, less than the podcast. And this has been picked up by major news outlets. It sounds like bollocks. Conte hasn't signed a new contract. I'm not even sure we've offered him one. It might be a rolling contract. I know there's an extra year so that he can just fall into next year without them having to negotiate. So, what do you think, Ricky?
He hates Juventus, doesn't he?
I don't know. Does he? What makes you say that?
I just thought he fell out with the board. I don't know. Just that quote. It sounds like it's one step removed from that old. Like he's going to say at the end of it that, you know, Conte's going to walk out and let the world tell the world what a cunt Levy is. What was the quote there? Remember the one you always used to pick up on the Mourinho? He's going to let everybody know.
Yeah, that was that. What was that? That was, I can't remember.
Journalist or something, wasn't it?
I can't remember. But there was like a bloke. I think it was a journalist on Twitter, and they were saying that there was some language inside the statement or the perceived conversation that had been happened between this journalist and Jose Mourinho, and some of the language inside this was that. Jose Mourinho was just waiting for the moment to expose what a cunt Daniel Levy was. And this
is
this
expose sort of... Levy for the cunt that he is.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah. Fuck those, mate. I don't know. I have no idea. Anyway, this geezer has, you know, he's not got significant influence, but I think he's going to. The fact that his tweet got picked up by. Like legitimate news outlets in the UK, that you can expect him to continue this tirade because it'll help him grow his social media account. Okay, let's move to a couple of questions before we'll end. Rose Gold says, one player who from our last starting 11 has been selected as interim king of the UK. They will serve for 2 years, during which they won't be eligible to play football. Who would you select to rule? Think of the state of the nation in addition to the state of the team. I've got one man in my mind.
You're thinking of Lucas Moura, aren't you?
Jesus Christ. Could you imagine that is throwing the fucking... What is it? Would you throw amongst pigeons to fuck them up?
Cat.
Throwing a cat amongst the pigeons. No, to lead the UK nation, I definitely wouldn't have Lucas Moura.
Who's
the most regal of the Spurs outfit? Do you think? Come on, we all must be thinking the same player. It's not Harry Kane.
Right, okay.
Eric Dyer.
Like he's a strap.
The national anthem. Imagine it before games. It's got to be "I love Eric Dyer."
All the
like pomp and splendor, all the trumpets and shit we've seen for the past few days. People singing that like politicians, straight faced, having to sing it in Westminster.
I love Eric. Eric Dyer loves me. Ricky, if Eric Dyer, I know your daughter. Yeah, I mean, you're not at the position where you're thinking about boyfriends for the daughters, right?
Right. Yeah.
But if they're 20 years old and they bring Eric Dyer back, given the man he is, you've listened to the High Performance Podcast with Jake Humphries.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah.
You wouldn't be annoyed if Eric Dyer turned up at your front door and went, Ricky, sorry, is it Ricky or Richard?
Ricky.
I'm sorry, Ricky. I just, you know, I really love your daughter and I think I want to marry her. What would you be disappointed?
No, not at all. He's like you said,
good looking.
He's he come across really well on that high performance podcast. I think he is studying or has studied a degree or master's or something like that. He's got his own. He's on the grind of his own little business. Is it Spotlass?
Yeah, it's the sort of some sort of like food app.
Yeah. Kind of like restaurant recommendations or something like that. Yeah, he seems like he's got his head screwed on. He seems like a nice guy. And he's had that bit of a cultured upbringing in Portugal. So yeah, fucking why not, mate? Yeah, I'd welcome him with
good lad,
open good arms. Lad.
What about Stefan Dalmat? What if he turned up? Bearing in mind he's 54. Boys, do you remember how excited we were about Stefan Dalmat on the old
board? He scored that one banger, didn't he?
As Everton?
I can't remember.
Just used to guide past people. Stefan Dalmat is the...
chinned him, didn't he?
I don't know. But Stefan Dalmat was the best player we ever had. That was totally shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's just, he had
what about
everything.
Old Crazy Legs?
Who's Crazy
Adele. Legs? Terapt.
Yeah. I mean, he had everything as well. He do you remember he came on for his cameo against West Ham and he was just like, like you say, his legs were everywhere, but he was just flying past players like they weren't even there. Incredible player.
He's still progressing now, isn't he? He's playing at Benfica.
They released him.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. But they released him. He's a free transfer, apparently. You get him on a free.
Marcus Edwards. I mean, how did you feel about his performance? And
he was good, really good, really really intelligent with his dribbling. And the fact that he's leading the line in the Champions League from leaving Spurs with playing 20 minutes, you know, is just shows how... And the fact that he went to, was it Victoria in Portugal and then to go to one of the biggest teams, it's effectively going to, you know, Liverpool or Manchester United,
yeah.
Someone like that. And then to lead the line in the Premier in the Champions League, you just got to look at it and go that he was always going to be a player. I thought he was good, really good. And against Frankfurt, he was incredible.
He's older than Kulusevski and he's not as good as Kulusevski.
Well,
and he's doing that. He's leading the line for Lisbon. We've got Kulusevski. I just think we're both in a good place. I think it works out well for everyone.
So you're the really mature position of being like happy for your ex missus.
Finding
another bloke with a smaller dick than you've got. That's essentially what it is. All right,
he
final
seems
question.
Nice with his limp handshake.
Good. What a handshake
and his non-threatening persona.
Yeah, but fundamentally, last Tuesday he slapped a dick across your face. Are you still happy? Let's finish on this from Reb. If you were a condom, which Spurs player's penis would you most likely to be used on?
Wow, that is.
So your complete entity is a condom. Right. And you're going to be wrapped around a Spurs fans member. I keep getting a fucking phone call from Ireland, like five on the bounce.
This is a bit like, you remember King Charles, I should say now. Do you remember his dirty message to Camilla saying that he wanted to be reincarnated as one of her tampons so he could stay inside her all day?
That's not true. That is not true.
You can't, mate, I mean, look it up.
Is this the week to make that joke?
It's not a joke.
It's
a factual reporting of
what a mental thing to say to your missus. Imagine if you'd said anything as mental as that. I bet she looks at that and went, yeah, I like that. Yeah, go on then. Go on. I'm gonna freak myself off after that text message.
Who found that text message? How did they get it?
The Daily Mail got it.
Yeah, probably Piers. What was it? News of the World, wasn't it? They were the ones tapping everyone's phones and shit.
All right, which dick would you want to be
on? Question. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, obviously, if you're a condom, you've got one purpose:
protect and serve.
Yeah, protect and serve. But and you wouldn't want to be kind of like a Johnny and then have a small penis because you'd be baggy, you'd be useless. I don't know. Who am I gonna go with? I might go Eric Dyer again, you know, because you remember that picture. Actually, was it when I can't remember what team was it? Was it Sporting? May even been some Sporting lads.
Yeah, yeah. And he put a truncheon down his pants, or his cock is that big.
Yeah, exactly. Those grey jogging bottoms. They look like a baby's arm was in his jogging bottoms.
Did you see Jan Vertonghen commented on it saying, like, you look very happy to see your old friends?
Yeah. I'd like to be a Johnny round that, please.
You just want to be stretched over a member. Yeah. Honestly, if you have to be a condom, you want to be over something handsome, don't you? Like, big. But... All right, I've got a question for you. Do you want to be used viciously or do you want to be used gently? You want to enjoy the ride. You don't want to be ripped. So I'm going to say gently and kind and loving.
Yeah,
that's all love making
Larice
should be.
Larice would be like silky. I think he's got Larice has got quite big dick energy. So I think he's got a sizable member. And I think he would kind of use it in a really sophisticated but firm fashion. So I think it would be best of both worlds.
Insist he wears his goalkeeping gloves at all times.
Yeah, 100%. I think that is a good position to a good place to end. I want to say thank you to Jack and go and listen to your podcast, which is called.
Don't fucking neg me, mate. Don't try and do this peacock shit. You know it's called Roll the Roast. Right?
No, I do know. I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm giving you an opportunity here, mate. Actually, you text me in the week congratulating me for my wedding, and just to make it clear that you wasn't congratulating the podcast and congratulating for the wedding. You made it clear through WhatsApp. So that was my rebuttal.
Well, it's because you posted that day that your James podcast was number one, and so I said congratulations, mate. And then I didn't want you to think it was me congratulating you for something like that when you'd just gotten married. So I was just saying, just you know, congratulations on the wedding, by the way, not the podcast.
That
Fuck
is
your podcast.
that is a little. I mean, it's amazing that we managed to get it to number one, the James and Flav for now podcast. But what we actually did was we sort of gamed the system. We got everybody to unsubscribe and resubscribe and listen to just keep the podcast playing on mute and then and then leave a review. If you do that, you gain the algorithm and then you end up being above Jake Humphrey's high performance podcast and Peter Crouch's podcast. So while we're not there on merit, we've gained the system like Manchester City, but fuck it, it's funny.
It's a fucking great podcast.
It's a good podcast.
Do you think it'll work for me and my 10 listeners on Roll the Roost?
Yes. I mean, what do you want me to say?
Let's try it.
Yeah, I'll give it a go. I'll definitely have a listen.
That's you, me, Ricky, and my mum.
All right, boys.
You've gone through a fucking podcast about making a mum joke as well, Ricky.
Yeah.
Do you know what? There was a prime opportunity.
What was that?
I was gonna go for it, but I thought, do you know what? I've grown.
Can you remember what the prime opportunity was?
It was something to. I'm just gonna set you up again, and it's gonna come back in my face.
No,
like I do with your mum.
Oh, very good, very good. You, look, people never should let go of your mum jokes. Like that's the staple of our upbringing. I'm not sure kids do it now. Jack, do you think that they're off? 10-year-old kids going like your mum does backflips under the bed because she's so short.
They're all too woke now. They're just discussing kind of, you know, woke things.
Yeah,
my daughter say
I'm
my
just committed
say,
to being a gammon. That's it. Like you know,
you say my one sort say of naughty things, do they?
Yeah, well they say it because they always hear me say it to my missus about her mum. So they just say my youngest just says your mum to everything. Like doesn't really understand the context.
I love
then
it.
My oldest will say about it, but it won't be like innuendos, obviously. It would just be just something random and stupid.
What was it, though, that you heard during the podcast that you wanted to... Can you remember?
No.
Ah, okay. All right, never mind. All right, that's been the Fighting Cop podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be out next week. I'm not getting back from my honeymoon until Tuesday, so probably won't have a podcast out maybe Wednesday or Thursday. But yeah, thanks for listening. Jack, thank you so much, mate.
Okay.
All the best.
Network.